have ceased to make me want to stay. And my one regret is leaving you behind. But if it proves to be his will that I am first to go, somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it comes your time to travel, likewise, don't you be afraid, for I will be the first one that you see. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be praising God with an angel band. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your trembling hands and failing eyes. I'll be waiting on that shore, and I'll keep a watch for you till you come with me to paradise. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be praising God with an angel band. See you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be praising God with an angel band. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand.
Chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. And starting at verse 13 tonight, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the fact of a future judgment is what we want to see here. It's going to happen, no doubt about it. The power of the word is what we saw in verse 12, and then the fact of a future judgment in verse 13, where it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 12, of course, talks about the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And we've been looking at that for a few weeks, how the word of God relates to your body, to your soul, and to your spirit. And it really can see you and discern you and understand you. And we do well to pay attention to the word of God so that our body, soul, and spirit is in right relation to the Lord up in heaven. But then verse 13 takes us from the word to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, before whom we're going to stand someday. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Just as the word of God on earth here can discern and understand you, so also when we stand before the Lord someday in a future judgment, he's going to see right through you. You're not going to be able to hide anything from him. And just as the word of God reveals things to you, when we stand before the Lord someday, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. So Those of us who are saved need to keep it in mind. We're going to stand before the Lord someday. We're going to give account for what we've been doing ever since we got saved. And we need to realize he can see, and he's going to see right through us. The lost need to realize they too are going to stand before this same personage. And there's not going to be any creature that is not made known in sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That really ought to make us think about how we're going to be when we stand before him. How about if you're here tonight and not saved? If you're listening to me on the internet and you're not saved, you're going to stand before someone someday before whom all things about you are naked and open. And notice how it says, with whom we have to do. Meaning you're going to have to stand there and give account. You can't get away from it. You can't put it off at that time. You can't say to him, well, how about if you wait until I straighten some things out? No, it's too late. You're going to have to do with him. Judgment is inevitable. Look at chapter 9, verse 27 of Hebrews, 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's inevitable. It's coming. It will come for you. You will stand someday and give account. All of us will, both the saved and the lost. Now, the saved aren't going to be in judgment to determine whether they get to heaven or not. That's already dealt with. That judgment was taken care of at the cross. But Christians will either receive or lose reward for the things done in your body since the day you got saved. The lost are going to stand there, and you're not going to, it's not going to be just, are you going to get a reward or not? It's a matter of you're going to go to hell. As a result of being there, you're going to be judged and delivered into hell. I believe hell will be determined how bad it is based upon the things that you've done. So you're going to give account before the Lord someday in a judgment that is inevitable. No man shall escape. Everything is known by God, and you're going to stand there and give account. Then, verse 14 starts a new section in Hebrews. And we're going to see here how the New Testament is better than the Old Testament because the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, is better than, and we're going to look now at the man Aaron, the high priest who stood over Israel as their mediator between them and God. Jesus Christ is better than Aaron. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 4, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You'll notice that Aaron's name isn't mentioned here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest in Aaron, you know, that who has passed into heaven. No, it's Jesus, the Son of God, being presented to us here as the great high priest. Because Jesus ascended through the heavens into the actual Holy of Holies, he's better than Aaron and his sons and the work they did for the children of Israel. So seeing then that we have such a great high priest, Jesus is a great high priest. Aaron occupied the greatest spiritual position in Israel as the high priest. There was no one more important spiritually, as we could say, to the children of Israel than the high priest position. And that would have been occupied by Aaron. The high priest mediated to provide salvation for Israel, to provide an atonement for them. And that's what his job was. But all knew that Aaron was sinful. They all knew that. How could they not know that? Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That couldn't be said about Aaron. No, Aaron was a sinner, just like all the rest. And they knew that he had to, first of all, on the Day of Atonement especially, make a sacrifice for himself, for his own sin, and take care of his own sin first. Then he could take care of the sins of the people. We don't have a high priest like that now in Jesus Christ. He is better than that. He has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let's not go back to the old way, going back to the Aaronic priesthood. Let's hold on to this Jesus, the Son of God, as our high priest. He's passed into the heavens. Verse 15, he is a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through because he himself came here and lived among us. Walked in a fleshly body just like you and me, yet without sin. That cannot be said of anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. All knew that Aaron was sinful. The Hebrew recipients of this letter also knew that Jesus was sinless. All those who have already trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have already acknowledged that Jesus is someone better than anybody else and that he is sinless. I hope that even you come to the reading of the book of Hebrews with already the understanding in your heart and mind, my Savior is without sin. And oh, how wonderful a Savior the Lord Jesus Christ is. No sin in him, yet without sin. But he still can understand and feel what I'm going through. And he did that not only through his life living here on earth, living among us and watching the things going on all around, and even entering into our infirmities and so forth by healing people. When he went to the cross and there he bore our sin in his body, he understands what we are going through. Aaron cannot be that type of a high priest because he's a sinner just like all the rest. Isn't it wonderful for us to know that we have someone who has passed into heaven for us already, who is without sin of his own. And yet he knows what I'm going through and the feeling of my infirmities and so forth. He knows the temptations that are there because he himself was tempted, but yet without sin. Oh, we got a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is a great high priest. Jesus is also in the Holy of Holies. Passed into is a participle with a perfect tense, meaning something that happened in the past with a continuing result. He's passed into and he's there. He's there in the very presence of God. Jesus went into the heavens and remains there now. I like how the first chapter and the first few verses talk about it. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And there he is. There's where my high priest sits. Went into heaven and he remains there now. Another thing, this high priest of mine is Jesus, and he is the Son of God. Aaron holds no similar position or claim. Only my Savior holds that kind of a position. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And verse 41 down through verse 46. Matthew 22 and verse 41. This is the Lord while he was here on earth, challenging the people as to who he is, who he himself is. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit, or, you know, under the inspiration of the Spirit, in spirit, call him Lord? You know, we have fathers here tonight, and many of you have children. Can you imagine yourself calling any of your children a title like Lord? That's something greater than yourself. It should be the other way around. Your children ought to be calling you Lord, right? They should be calling you Master. But David here, in spirit, calls his own son Lord, saying, verse 44, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know what? This makes the Lord Jesus Christ something even greater than simply just the Son of David, but he's also the Son of God. Rightfully able to take the title of Lord from David, the King of Israel. My Savior Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Aaron holds no similar position or claim. So my Savior is a high priest, and he is the Son of God. He's without sin. He's up there in heaven for me right now. You know what I should do? Hold fast my profession. Don't even think about turning back. Hold fast, especially those who are thinking of going back to the Old Testament ground. Look, don't go back to that. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. Aaron doesn't go into heaven for you. He doesn't sit at the right hand of the Father. He isn't without sin. He isn't the Son of God. Take Jesus and go with him. Verse 15, Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize with us and still be without sin. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. Infirmities, human limitations, which cause us to eventually sin. But Jesus was never tempted as we are with the sinful nature, for he had no sinful nature. So he is without sin. And that is a wonderful thing, because we are able through this great high priest to enter the Holy of Holies. Like verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, that means I can do this right now. I don't have to wait for a day of atonement. I don't have to wait for a sacrifice to be done first for Jesus, for his own sin. No, like Aaron had to do. I can come boldly through the Lord Jesus Christ under the throne of grace. I can go right on into that Holy of Holies, which was unavailable to all the rest of the Israelites except for Aaron, the high priest, and then his sons successively after him. They were the only ones allowed in there. I am allowed right into the very throne room of grace. Boldly, I'm told to come there, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a great high priest Jesus Christ is. Isn't it good to know him as your Savior? I'm glad to know him as my Savior, and I hear that you are too. What a wonderful high priest and Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come right into that throne room of grace, and there we obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. How about it? You have any times of need? You can go right into the presence of the Father through the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to see that Aaron or that Jesus Christ was not taken from among men, but from the Godhead, unlike Aaron. Verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, in verse 1 we see that Jesus was not of men, but the Son of God. His priesthood was after another order, not Aaron's, but the order of Melchizedek. Aaron offered gifts and sacrifices for sins, while Jesus offered himself. Jesus offers himself. And Jesus is sinless. And the comparison is to Aaron. Aaron, as a high priest, could have reasonable compassion upon sinners, for he was one himself. That's what verses 1 through verse 4 say. For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men, and that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can also have compassion on them that are out of the way. Why? Because he himself is compassed about with infirmity, just like the ones that he's representing. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And he would have to do it for himself and then the people. Aaron, as a high priest, could have reasonable compassion upon sinners, for he was one himself, compassed about with infirmity. Look at verse 15 in chapter 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And Aaron was similar in this regard. He himself could feel for the people because he was compassed about with infirmities. But he had to offer offerings for his own sins, whereas Christ is just going to offer himself for our sins. He was called of God to do this, as no man would take this office upon himself without being considered hypocritical and having an holier-than-thou attitude. Look at verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now, did Aaron say to Moses, you know what, I'll help you out taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. How about you give me a good job to do? Like, how about high priest? Is that job for sale, Moses? No, no. Aaron was made high priest because he was called of God to be the high priest. And no man would dare take this honor unto himself. That's what verse 4 is saying. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now, when we're comparing Aaron to Jesus Christ, and of course, Jesus Christ being so much better than Aaron, let us not de-emphasize the person of Aaron and his work that he did for the nation of Israel. It's not a job that Aaron took by himself. It was a responsibility given to him by God himself. And he said to Moses, Aaron is going to be the high priest. That's not something that just any man should say, I can do. I would like to take you to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers, chapter 16. Because back in the time of the children of Israel, and Moses and Aaron, Aaron being set up as the high priest, there were some within the camp who felt that they were just as capable to do the job as Aaron was. And they were stepping on holy ground here, and they will find themselves in big trouble. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 1, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Why are you lifting yourself above all the rest of us? These men said to Moses and Aaron. Who are these men? Korah, he's a son of Levi. He's wanting to be in Aaron's position. Instead of just one of the serving priests, he wanted to be number one. And he got two other men, Dathan and Abiram of the tribe of Reuben, to go along with him in their rebellion against Moses and Aaron, along with 250 princes, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Why, we're as capable as Aaron is to do the job of the high priesthood for Israel. The thing about it is, Aaron didn't take the job on by himself. He was appointed to that place by the Lord. Jesus Christ is appointed in his place by the Father up in heaven. And can you imagine anyone wanting to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we have some. They're called antichrists. They are those who want to deny the person and work of Christ and de-emphasize who he is. These men back in Aaron's day were the same kind of men. Why, we can do this just as well as Aaron can. And what makes Aaron any more holy than any of us? We're all holy, set apart by the Lord, and anyone among us can do this. Why lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Woo! These men were trying to take something unto themselves that God had given unto Aaron. Well, let's proceed through this. Verse 4. "And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy and who will cause him to come near unto him." And that has reference to the high priest responsibility of coming into the very presence of God with an offering and so forth. "Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." Moses is saying, look, God chose Aaron, not me, and not you guys. God chose this man. Who chose the Lord Jesus Christ for us? The Father. The Father sent him. And he sent him after another order, an order of Melchizedek, whom we're going to find out is better than the order of Aaron and his sons. Continuing on, verse 6. "This do," Moses says to these men, 250 of them, and Korah, and Dathan, and Abiram. "This do, take you censers." All right, censers are that which you would put incense in. It was used in the tabernacle worship in order for it to go up before the Lord. A type of incense or a type of prayer and intercession going on up. And Moses is saying, we'll find out who is supposed to intercede. You all get censers. Korah and all his company. Verse 7, "And put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." Moses saying, you're taking too much upon yourself here. This office is something that the Lord ordains the man for, and the Lord chooses out. Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? You know, they had already been given a great job to do, to minister in the tabernacle and minister on behalf of the congregation of Israel. Now you want to take the great high priest office as well. So Moses is kind of bringing them up short here. Verse 10, and he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Aaron is... he didn't ask for this priesthood job. God ordained him and called him to do this. And God has given you sons of Levi a job to do as well. Why seek ye this priesthood? Why come ye and gather yourselves together against the Lord and against his choice? Verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Whoa. You can see their pride here and their complaint against Moses that he has made himself a prince over them. Well, if they could only have been at the burning bush... if they had only been with Moses when there were times when Moses said, I am not able to do this. And here they are, presuming that they can do it just as well as Moses. Verse 14, moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Moses says, I want you guys all to come on up here. These two guys say, oh, we're not going to come up. Hey, what do you think you are? You brought us out of Egypt to wander in this wilderness, and now you want to be a prince over us, and you haven't given us the land. Wait a minute. It's you guys who didn't want to go into the land when God said go in, because there were giants in the land, and they were fearing to go in. And now they want to take Moses to task over this. Verse 15, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. What audacity, what boldness, what presumption. Why, we're just as good as Aaron as a choice for high priest. Verse 19, Korah gathered all the congregation against them and unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, referring to Korah, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. They really should have been on their knees asking for forgiveness. But no, pride leadeth to destruction. And they stand in their tents in their rebellion against God's choice for high priest over Israel. And they stand there even with their children, their wives. Verse 28, and Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, like, in other words, if they die of old age or something like that, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. You say, why are you reading all this? Because when we go back to the book of Hebrews, we are presenting someone in the place of Aaron being much better. And to do this is no small matter. For way back in the history of Israel, when men actually tried to take the place of Aaron, God dealt with them severely. So if Jesus is not who he says he is, then he is doing something presumptuously against the Lord and against Aaron and the priesthood. He better be better than Aaron. There better be something about Jesus Christ which is a whole lot better than Aaron. Because look what happened back here when men tried to take Aaron's place. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. Reminds me of Lot, when he got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, how about if we go to these other two cities? When he saw the destruction going on, he fled to the mountains. He didn't even want to go to the cities, lest they get burned up as well. They all fled, lest the earth swallow us up also. Verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now there's 250 men there with their censers. To see if they could take the Aaron's place. Verse 36, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord. That he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. All those censers that those 250 men had, presuming that they could be candidates for the high priesthood, God burned them to a crisp. and their censers lie there on the ground. And Eleazar took their censers and scattered the incense on the ground. And they took those censers and they beat them into broad plates to make a covering for the altar of incense. And that altar of incense had that covering from that point on. Those coverings that would cover, and I would assume that that would mean that's how they would cover the brazen, the altar of incense, every time they were to pack up and move on to another city. They would cover that with these plates made from the censers of the men who sought to take the place of Aaron. And every time they saw that, or it was made known that it was covering the altar of incense, there's how God feels about men who want to take Aaron's place. I read the whole passage just to simply say this. Jesus has got to be better in order to take Aaron's place. And he is in all points better than Aaron. And we have a great high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron was taken out from among men. Jesus was sent by God from heaven. Aaron had sin. Jesus had no sin. Jesus is the Son of God. Aaron is of the tribe of Levi. Oh, he's so much better. Aaron had a priesthood that would continue, but it would continue after he would die. His son would take over. His son would die, and he would take over, and it kept on going like that. Whereas we're going to learn, Jesus' priesthood never ends because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. See how Jesus is better than Aaron? And it is okay that Jesus sets up a new priesthood. And even after a different order, a better order. He's after the order of Melchizedek, whom we're going to learn has no beginning or ending of days, neither father nor mother. That's the order of priesthood that our Savior Jesus Christ is going to be ministering in for us. Oh, he's so much better. And let no one arise and say, I'm just as good as Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a man dressed up in the dressing of the Pope who would be called Holy Father? I saw it in the newspaper just the other day. Children in Philadelphia are writing letters to the Holy Father that he might visit the city of Philadelphia when he comes. He's no Holy Father. No, no. Imagine a man presuming to take the place of the Holy Father here on this earth. That's blasphemy. Folks, that is blasphemy. And any priest, and you know, these priests in the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox churches have no, they don't even go back to Aaron. They're just men like Abiathar and Dathan. They're just regular men. Actually putting on the uniform of a priest and actually saying they can intercede as Jesus does for sinners here on this earth. And of course the followers look up to these men and call them Father. Call them Holy Father. This is sin. This is blasphemy. It is the same sin for which God caused the earth to open up and swallow a whole company of people. They're going to stand before him and they're going to be naked and open before the eyes of him with whom they have to do. It's coming. someday. Well, the rest of that chapter talks about what happened, because the next day the children of Israel they were upset with Moses and Aaron because all these people died as a result of this. And they murmured against Moses and Aaron because they said, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Verse 44 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood." You know, you tell me if you see any types here, okay? You see any types here? Look at this. "And he stood between the dead and the living. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's Jesus in a much better ministry even than Aaron could perform that day. For the plague has already begun. What plague? The plague of death. The wrath of God abideth already on men who do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father sends the Son to earth. Quickly, go down there and do for them what they can't do for themselves. And there he hangs on that cross, just like Aaron stood there between the dead and the living. There's the cross between the dead and the living. And he brings us unto God. And the plague was stayed. If you want the plague of eternal death, lake of fire, to be ended for you, you need to come to the one who's standing between you and life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah, 250 men, Korah, Abiram, Dathan, and all their families and wives and children, all of them, plus the 14,700. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." I think the children of Israel understood at that point, Aaron's our man. Aaron's our priest. We're not going to say anything against that. And you know what? We should say, Jesus is our priest. He is even better than Aaron. And follow him all the way to the throne of grace, the Holy of Holies, into glory. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior. How about that song we sang this morning? Jason, can you come to the piano? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let me find the number for that. Hymn 184. Let's sing that, folks, together. In recognition of who Jesus Christ is, before we leave here and go home tonight. 184, hallelujah. What a Savior. And if you feel like standing, let's stand as we sing in closing here tonight. Number 184 in our hymn book. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Every chain and scoffing know him as Savior would ever give him up for anyone else. He is our Savior. He is our High Priest. Help us to go forward and share this with whoever we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.